The countdown to the Netball Super League Grand Final 2024 is on. Two titans of the game go head-to-head on the biggest stage the competition has ever seen. A record crowd will gather in Birmingham to witness possibly the most ferocious weather forecast you've ever seen as Manchester Thunder face Loughborough Lightning. I'm Lindsay Chapman, and what a treat we're in for at Resorts World Arena on the last day of the Super League 24. London Pulse play Seven Stars in the third-fourth playoff at 2, and then at 4:30, it's the big one, Thunder against Lightning, to decide who'll be crowned season champions. So this time on Courtside, I wanted to take you right to the top, to the beating heart of our final two teams, to the masterminds who have engineered their rise to league table dominance. What an absolute scoop to welcome to the pod the head coaches from both sides, Vic Burgess from Loughborough Lightning and Karen Gregg from Manchester Thunder. Ladies, welcome to Courtside.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Did you enjoy that introduction? Does that get you pumping for the final?
You know what, I really wanted to start singing when you went, there's a weather forecast of thunder and lightning. It's like you want to say very, very frightening, isn't there? I think there's a song in
that. I mean, you are literally taking all my moments from commentary. We're going to have to edit that out so it sounds like I've thought of it. But yes, absolutely. Do you know what though? This is cozy, isn't it? You know, here we are just a few days away from the final. And when I was thinking about this ep, and having you both on, I remembered a question that I asked Karen in the later stages of the regular season when Thunder knew they'd made the semi-finals. And I said, Karen, is there anything now that you might hold back, you know, that you might surprise us with in the semi-finals and possibly the final? Do you remember what you said to me, Karen? Do you remember what your answer was?
I've got a vague idea, but I've slept since then, Lindsay.
He said, that would be telling. And I was like, yes, interesting. So I'm sort of thinking, right, I'm going to interview them both together right before they play each other in the final. So I thought, I know, I will get your competitive juices flowing early so I can get a bit of fighting talk with my finals-based Birmingham quiz. Yes, yes, yes. Because this is where the final is based, I thought, you know, let's get into it. Let's get competitive with a bit of a quiz. So it's fastest finger first. If you know the answer, I'd like you to either shout Thunder or Lightning and I'll come to you. Okay, here we go. So Birmingham is said to have more canals than which famous European
Thunder.
City? That's Thunder.
Venice.
That is correct. Well done, Karen Gregg. You have 1 point. Well done. Vicky's shaking her head. I'm sure that she'll be in with this second question, though. Question two. Birmingham played host to the Commonwealth Games in 2022, and the arena the Super League final is being held in was the home of netball at the Games. Australia took the netball gold medal, but who took
Thunder.
Bronze? I feel like I got the word bronze in after you said Thunder. So I'm going to have to disqualify you, Karen.
It's all about timing. It's like beat the ball. You press the buzzer and you take that risk.
Oh my God. I know how Gary Burgess feels. I am going to disqualify you there because you said Thunder before I said bronze. So I'm going to hand it to Vic and say, who took the bronze medal?
England.
Do you want another guess?
No, she got it wrong.
Yes, she got it wrong.
Oh,
it
no.
was
New
it
Zealand.
Was New Zealand.
Right, so that should be my point.
Yes, okay, here we go. So, final
this is
one.
Too early for me. This is too early for
me. It's far too early. It's far too early, I understand. Right, final question. I was a student at the University of Birmingham, but what subject did I study?
Lightning. Media.
Oh, it's close, but it's not quite right. It's close.
Thunder. Journalism.
No, you're both wrong. I did drama and theatre. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. At the University of Birmingham. I was like thinking, ooh, did they think I did pharmacy or something? I didn't. I did drama and theatre. Well done. Thank you very much for playing. We've got the competitive vibes out and ready now. So let's just think about what this grand final means, because if Manchester Thunder win, they will equal Team Bath's record of 5 Netball Super League titles. That's massive. If current champions Loughborough Lightning win, then they'll have back-to-back titles to their name, a feat which only Team Bath, Surrey Storm and Wasps have achieved so far. Not only that, but it's also the last opportunity for both teams to win the title as we know it before the new Super League era and the move towards professionalisation next year. I just wonder, as head coaches, sort of what you bring in terms of your own thoughts and how you feel about it to a final. Do you want to go first, Vic?
Yeah, sure. I think... for us, this is our fourth final in a row, and for us that's huge. And as you just said, there's lots around it. For us, we want to make history for ourselves, winning back to back, and that was something that we were going for in the kind of 21-22 season, which Greggy stole it from us at the end of that season. So it's something that's really important to us, and that the girls are really aiming to achieve this season. And, you know, I think another part of it is that you build a great culture, a winning culture, and they want to put out the very best performance on the day. And, you know, you spend the whole season working towards these moments. So, yeah, it'll be a great final.
Yeah, I agree. You know, as Vic just said, you know, it's something that you work a whole season for, and it's not just from February 17th or whenever we started. You know, that for us started in recruitment last year, you know, so it is a long old season, and you kind of work through different parts of the season, having different focuses, making sure that you're equipping your squad, you know, and your staff as best as you can. For me personally, Manchester Thunder have won four titles, and I've been a part of every single one as a player, assistant coach, and two as a head coach. And I would love it if we, you know, if we could take this title and make that five and equal Bath's record. You know, we want to be able to go out and, you know, and say NSL as it stands, you know, we're joint kind of record holders in what that looks like, and end this era, you know, as a successful team. And that's definitely something that I know I would like to happen. The club definitely would. And even though we haven't discussed that with the girls in terms of what that would mean, they're very aware of it, and are very, you know, passionate and buzzed to kind of get going this week.
Oh, it's interesting that you haven't sort of talked directly with the team about that, but of course everybody will be aware. I just wondered as well, like, talking about how you feel about the final, when Thunder closed out their semi-final against Seven Stars, you had that really strong final quarter, but they brought it, didn't they? And in the third quarter, they really asked questions of you. And I know before that game, you described the semi-finals as the toughest day of the season. I just wondered where that left the final. So if you feel like semis is the toughest day, what's the final in your mind?
I think the final is a stage to go and express everything that you can do, everything that you've worked for. I think with the semi-final, what's so hard about a semi-final is that everything you've worked for all season can just be gone. You know, just as within 60 minutes of netball, and that's it, it's done, your season's over. And that's the thing, you can't come any higher than third at that point, and you still have to play for that bronze medal, and nobody wants to be playing in that game, let's face it. And, you know, that final, I think, is almost like, we're there now, we know exactly what we need to do, we need to make sure we have a solid training week, and it's almost like, let's go out and really enjoy this and put on a great show. And I think there's almost a bit of a relief when you get through that semi-final, but you've still got a massive job to do. But you can do it knowing you're there.
Well, I wondered actually, Vic, if you wanted to pick up off that, because after your victory over Pulse, you said that every single minute mattered. And I just wondered, you know, following what Karen said there, which minutes are the most nervy? You know, which are the minutes that you really have to sort of grind through?
There's a lot on the line in a semi-final. Your season could be done in that moment, and there's 60 minutes to get through and everybody fire at the same time. And if somebody isn't, and that could go within the click of a fingers. So I think it's definitely every minute matters throughout that, the work rate. You know, you're still considering the fact that if you get through there, you've got a final to come up against. So you're also thinking about what you want to see out there, what you want to put out there. So there's lots to think about going through a semi-final. And there is a huge kind of relief at the end of that. I certainly felt it, of getting through to the finals, because it then puts you both in a position where you're just trying your very best to kind of beat each other in the final in whatever way you think is going to work.
I think you said you'd enjoy that feeling of getting through the semi-finals for about 2 hours, Vic, and then you'd start watching clips of Thunder. I no doubt that both of you have done loads of homework. And of course, tickets are still available for the final on the 29th of June in Birmingham. Head over to the Netball Super League website, but you'll have to do it quickly. Let's look back at the season then. Karen, Thunder have only lost one game all season, and that was back in round six against Loughborough Lightning. Can see you smiling at each other. They beat you at home, taking the lead by 12. Vic, just three losses for Loughborough Lightning this season, two against Pulse by just a goal or two each time. And of course, Thunder repaid the favour, beating you on home soil by four goals back in round 12. So that's one game apiece for the regular season. How have you both approached this game? Because you've talked there, Karen, about a really big week. What's the approach to the final?
We try and keep the week exactly the same as previous weeks. And, you know, I've been part of a coaching team 1 year where things changed, and going into the final, what happened in the changing room was different to what happened in the changing room for the rest of the season. And that, for me, massively impacted the girls' performance. I won't say what year that was. But for me, you have to keep it as normal as possible because there's going to be enough nerves flying around anyway. You know, we've got some girls in our team that have never played in a semi-final or a final before. So this is like a really new experience for them. And if you're all of a sudden going to start changing up what that looks like or putting additional emotional pressures on those players, then, you know, you're only kind of setting yourself up for failure. So It's all about keeping it as normal as possible. So we had our, you know, I spent the day yesterday on my head and my laptop. Sure, Vic did as well. And we had a really solid PA session with the girls last night. And that really kickstarts our week in terms of what we're going to be hitting the mat in training today, tomorrow and Thursday. So we'll have a defensive session tomorrow. We have a bit of a mix up with a bit of both on Wednesday, and then we'll hit the attack side on Thursday before a big rest on Friday and then travel down Saturday morning. So nothing dissimilar to what we've done before. You know, we offered the girls the opportunity to stay in Birmingham on Friday night, but they didn't want to do that. You know, they wanted to sleep in their own beds and keep things as normal as possible and travel down on the morning, which is what we've done. So keeping things as normal as possible.
That's really interesting to me, actually, because I know that teams have looked at that this year, particularly if they've got an away game. Pulse went to Seven Stars the night before because obviously they'd lost their first game to Stars in the season and they didn't want to lose the return leg. And they did choose to sleep over, but your girls have said no, we want to be at home. That's fascinating.
Yeah, we haven't stayed away all season. So, you know, it's in Birmingham. It's a couple of hours down the road for us. And it's something we haven't done all year. And they wanted to sleep in their own beds. And I'm more than happy at the end of the day. That's what they want to do. I'm fully supporting what the players, what that looks like. So, yeah, keep things as normal as possible. Training will be, obviously, the sessions won't be exactly the same, but the format will be the same. And
are you going to go into detail there, Greggy?
No, not at all, Vix. but yeah, just key to keep it as normal as possible so that, you know, as I said, there are going to be nerves floating around. So how do you manage that best for the group of athletes that you've got? And it's all about understanding what their needs are, what their personalities are, and what can really make them tick in such a big week.
Yeah, I mean, our training week is so basically similar vibes in that we offered them an overnight stay the night before and they've chosen to stay in their own beds and travel down on the Saturday. So similar in that space in prep wise. Our training week looks a bit different to Thunder's. So our training week, we've already had a session last night. We've had a session this morning. They've got a rest day tomorrow, most of them. We've got a little bit of some positional stuff tomorrow, lunchtime. And then we've got our final session on Thursday. So all my prep with the PA was Sunday, basically. I had my head in a laptop on Sunday, review from our game on Saturday, and then prep for the final too. So we're two sessions in preparing.
That's amazing. I mean, we're recording this podcast at 9:30. So what time was your session this morning?
The session was 8 till 9, and then the girls headed to the gym afterwards. However, they did come in a little bit earlier because they wanted a game of rounders outside on the rugby pitch. So they were in at about 7:40 to fit in a nice game of rounders before the training session.
They're keen beans, aren't they? They're keen beans. Do you have, like yourselves or within your teams, do you have any pre-final superstitions when you're preparing and going through your week? Have you got like special pants?
I don't have special pants. I have the same ritual. It's funny, I got asked this yesterday and I still prepare for games like I'm playing. it's kind of like hanging on hope, but I still lay out my clothes in the spare bed. You know, I have a pile, you know, my underwear pile. I have my T-shirt, my jeans, I have my bag ready and I put all my toiletries in my bag. It's very much like I'm playing, but obviously I'm not. I still have that same ritual.
I'm like that, a bit of carb loading. You know, you need to get your carbs in. I think I always wear, I have a pair of like Converse or shoes that I wear across the same season. So I'll always wear the same pair of shoes for a game, and I always wear a game day side plait, which is pretty much the only two things that are the same across the season.
That is amazing, because I was really enjoying your side plait from the weekend, because we had a great shot of it when I was watching on TV. I was like, that is a nice side plait.
I mean, sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's terrible.
What has surprised you about your squads this year, or maybe about yourselves? You know, what has sort of come out of the regular league, the semi-final, that maybe you weren't expecting? Vic, have you had anything that sort of struck you?
For us this year, we had quite a few changes across our squad off the back of last year. So for us, the way that they've managed to connect in with new players coming in has been really important. The time that they spend together, like away from the court. I mean, Greggy, I think I've seen some of your group do this as well, but they love a coffee, they love brunch, and they just take the time to spend time together. And it makes a huge difference, that connection across the season. And I think more so on the court, for us, we speak about winning when it matters. So like, obviously you guys, you mentioned around, we lost to Pulse twice and to Thunder once. And that was a big thing for us going into this semi-final, about winning when it matters and learning from those experiences of being, you know, up at times, down at times, and how that can be impactful when it does get to these crunch games. That for us has been really key this season.
Yeah, it's pretty similar in terms of the off-court stuff as Vic's. They love a social, and at the start of the year, Nat puts a load of dates in the diaries, and they go in there, and you know, so they have some real set structures of when they want to spend some time together. But they are, like Vic said, randomly coffees and stuff like that. As Vic also said, was we had a lot of changes in our group this year. You know, a whole new shooting end, Imogen coming in into that centre court, and for players like that I've seen. Obviously, for the last few years playing for other teams, like Paige and Imo, and I've never really spoken to them. You know, you always say hello to players on the other team when you see them, but I never knew them as people. So when I had conversations with them in recruitment, and you kind of get a vibe that, yeah, I think they're going to be a good fit. Like, and I think that's important, like for me, is definitely picking up on that player vibe and whether you think they're going to be a good fit for the club. And now that I know them and we've spent a season with them, absolutely, to see those personalities be really happy and successful in our environment, I think has been brilliant for us off the court and on the court, because they then have that connection on the court too. So I know people often say, you know, to be teammates, you don't have to be mates, but when you've got a group that are mates, it makes life so much easier.
Certainly helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, on the court, I think the thing that's excited me the most this year is the kind of versatility of the group that we've got, the combinations that we're able to throw out there, and the questions that we're able to ask of opposition. And it wasn't necessarily a surprise, because we recruited specifically for that, but I'm really happy with how it's developed and evolved over the season.
I think we've seen that from both your sides, actually. You know, we've seen play that we've not necessarily seen from Lightning before. You know, when you watch Mary Chollock and the way she's moving around the circle, you know, that's really developed in her games, and it's certainly the case for Thunder. And I think as fans, what we've really enjoyed is having a bit more access to you guys, to the players, to the whole setup. You know, whether that's through social media or the interviews that you've been giving, you've been really open and welcome coming. And I think, you know, how Thunder have training amidst all the TikToks that are going on, you know, I just don't know. But it is wonderful to see those connections. And Mary, again, she took part in that series, didn't she, where we learned a bit more about the background of those players. And I think, you know, one thing I'm really interested in is one, how much you both think about the fans ahead of this final, but also two, sort of what is the hub of the team? You know, is it, you've both talked about ethos and culture. Is it a place? Is it the canteen? Or is it a person? You know, what's the sort of centre of the team? And where do you see the fans fitting into that?
Like, culture is a huge thing. And I think the more you guys can create a good culture with, like, within the training environment, the expectations on and off the court, and the rest of the squad buy into that, then you ultimately kind of get that success on the court. And then you build that fan base, and, you know, and the interaction throughout with the fans is always something that's really important to us. So we always do kind of interviews after the game, connection in with them. The girls will be, you know, interacting with them fully. I think social media is a huge thing, just letting, you know, letting people in to see what we're doing in training. And I mean, TikTok, I'm not particularly on there, but it's not something I would like to get involved in, but the girls love it. And I think that's massive, like, platform for people to engage with as well. So the more accessible that the girls are, and you know, the better kind of the following, the more that people are loving what we're doing and loving the competition that we're putting out there. And ultimately, yeah, I think, you know, at the final, to get fans at the final is going to be unbelievable. Like, the crowd, the arena is always amazing. And also to have people watching it from home and on the screens and being able to watch that kind of competitive game is going to be, you know, it's going to be so good. So something huge to look forward to.
Yeah, I think for me, the Thunder family, you know, we call our fans our family, our volunteers, everyone is part of the club. And that's definitely something that we've worked on, over, you know, since day one, really. And I think over the last few years, with the access that we now have through social media and how we're trying to use that as a club and utilise it, we're definitely, you know, more open and accessible to people. And I think it really shows the personalities of the girls, which is great. You know, we've had our bus bake off this year, and the fans that we've got, the fan base is unbelievable. They're loud, they're passionate, you know, that they love engaging with the players. But we've got to find a way to keep engaging more and more to make sure we're filling arenas week in, week out next year. So the more we can be accessible, I think the better.
That must be very similar for you, Vic. I know, obviously, you know, these are two historic clubs in the Netball Super League, and you've got an existing fan base, but no doubt you want to really build that as well as we head into next year.
100%. You know, that's the ambition and also the challenge, right? To get people there into big arenas. You know, we have a couple of franchises now that are going to be closer to us, so we'll have some competition there. But we know that our kind of Lightning family supporters, they are loyal. So we're just building on that. And yeah, definitely will be the ambition to get as much support as possible in those arenas.
Yeah, big news this week as well, wasn't there, in terms of what's going to happen next year? Birmingham Panthers have recruited Joe Tripp as their new head coach. So it's all change. I do love a stat, though, and here's one for you both. I do my own research. And
as long as it's not a quiz.
The quizzing is done. The quizzing is done. I didn't say who'd won because I felt it was clear. And, you know, we needed to move on. So here's a stat. So far, 10,265 goals have been scored in the league this year. I know because I counted them. And Mary Chollock from Loughborough Lightning has scored 925 of them. So she scored nearly a tenth of those goals. Manchester Thunder are the only team to have two shooters in the top 10, Elmarie van der Beer and Paige Reed, with a combined total of 884 goals. What a beautiful set of stats that is. And I know that both of you love analysis. You know, you really do your homework. You watch the other teams. I just wondered if either of you had a stat that you're particularly proud of this year, if anything has stood out to you about your team. And Karen, you are nodding like mad. Go on.
My stat that I'm really proud of is that we were the least penalised team across 18 rounds of netball by quite a long way as well. So we finished the league with 744 penalties. So that was the least and the most. But the most was 1,034, so nearly 300 penalties more than us. And we also haven't had, touch wood, touching everything, any warnings across the season either.
So you're kind of going into that final with a clean slate for your team, you know, and sort of real freedom. Very interesting. Victor, you have a favourite stat from the season?
No, I'm fuming. I don't have the actual stat on my phone, but we are the number one team for centre pass to goal out of all of the teams.
Incredible. That's a great stat. Look at you both. I knew you'd have a stat. I knew that you'd, there'd be a brilliant one in there. So that is really, really interesting. And that's going to be one of the battles between the two of you. So there you go. You got a bit of information from each other there. Very nice. Very nice. Just thinking ahead, though, at the end of the final, when it's all done and we know the result, would you like to predict the result, by the way? Any predictions?
I don't think it's worth doing it.
They're both like, no, absolutely not. We will wait and see. Quite right. I just wondered if we could just think about NSL 2025 and the move towards professionalisation, because both your teams are going into the new era. There'll be fewer teams. There's 8 instead of 10, with those squad sizes going from 10 instead of 12, which is it's been 12 this year, hasn't it? All the players are currently on a 1-year contract and the signing window opens immediately after the conclusion of this season. Do you have time, capacity, interest in looking forward? You know, have you got a list of names already on your phone, Karen, on your phone, Vic, that you would like to sign? And do you have to put a portion of your brain into next year, although you're focusing on this year?
You've got to.
Yeah, you have to. And as soon as we knew we had a team next year, we pulled a recruitment document together. So as a club, like myself leading on it with the support of Gabs and Laura, we put together a ranking document. And, you know, Vic might do the same. So you look at all the players across the league, including your own, and we rank 1 to 5 in every position, so that you can see where your current players are sat. And, you know, if you had to make any changes, you know, you kind of know who your next targets are. So off the back of that, you know, you have an option A, an option B, an option C, knowing that you may lose players, knowing, you know, your recruitment has to be slightly different because you are going down to 10. So it's going to be difficult to carry players that are only can play one position. You know, there's got to be some flexibility throughout that group. So that recruitment of a 10 is very different. So we've had a document together for a few weeks now where that ranking process, those options, and we've been, to be honest, it's certain areas of the court are a real jigsaw puzzle for us. But I feel like we're in a good place. But it was something that we had to start early because, as you say, this last week and this week, real key focus is getting through and winning. But knowing that at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, when it's a free for all, we're ready to go.
What I wouldn't give to see that piece of paper, Karen, I tell you what. What about you, Vic? Is it a similar process?
Yeah, similar with a recruitment strategy. So, you know, as soon as you're finding out that you've got the franchise, then you've got to put that thing in motion, really, to be prepared for it. And as Greggy said, I won't repeat what she said. It's similar in, you know, Monday, it'll, you know, the bell will ring and it'll all go a bit crazy. So, yeah, you've got to be prepared, basically. So we get Sunday to chill out.
I was going to say, how do you relax after the final? Is there any time? Karen, you're getting married later in the year, aren't you? Can you sort of have some space for that? I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I made sure I planned the wedding like well away from the back end of the season. I have got my hen due 2 weeks after the season finished, with Vix is coming too, so that'll be fun. So yeah, mid-September we're going over to Italy to get married. So I've basically said, you know, I have got a holiday before that, but there'll be no doubt that during my other holiday, there probably still will be netball chat and emails and phone calls happening, because you can't have a holiday in peace in netball. It just doesn't happen. But I have said, you know, I draw the line when it's my wedding, and I've got 10 days in Italy, and I don't want to hear anything about netball in those 10 days.
Okay. All right. We'll stay away. We'll stay away. Yeah. Vix, can you tell us anything about the hen do? Like, what are we going to have a do in?
I can't say in front of her.
Okay, we'll chat afterwards. We'll let Karen go first and we'll chat afterwards. Can you relax a little bit? Do you have a holiday or anything, Vic?
I've got a holiday in the UK, so I'll be taking my laptop and my phone with me.
You're so dedicated. It's amazing. Well, look, it's just been brilliant to talk to you. And I know you are brilliant friends as well, which is really nice. You know, once the final is done, you've got that lovely hen do to go to. And I was thinking, do you know what? We could end this interview with a sort of boxing match, weigh-in, face-off type thing, which I would very much like to see. But then I thought it might be more interesting to look at it the other way. And I thought I'd finish by asking you both what you really respect about the other coach, about their style and what they bring to the netball court. So Vic, could you go first? Because you're nodding and smiling.
I think Greggy's focus and like competitive edge is something that we've seen at the start of this podcast with the quiz, is something that is, you know, an attribute to her. But, you know, you can definitely see that the culture that she's built across Thunder is admirable. So yeah, and you know, I've worked with Greggy in the past as well. We came through a similar kind of coaching journey through the pathway, so it's always great to see a coach and friend kind of thrive in their environment.
Very similar, really. As Vic said, we've known each other for a long time, you know, we've from playing, you know, against each other and being those pathway head coaches, and we kind of probably have gone through a lot of different learnings together. I know we've had, you know, been when Vic was doing the Northeast and the East Mids, and I was doing Northwest. We spent a lot of time together in those meetings, and we've had a couple of coaching trips away to Spain that, you know, Vic's had the best tan of her life. And you know, I've seen Vic really evolve as a person, you know, from somebody who was, you know, that passionate player who left it out on the court, to now being like that as a coach and really instilling belief into her players. And I think, you know, that's really admirable that she's developed so much as a coach, and she really understands the game. You know, like, you can have conversations with her about netball and you listen to what she's saying and you know that she understands the game, you know, and I don't think there's many people that actually do. So, yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful to hear. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, it really is two masterminds of netball going up against each other. Don't worry, though, the loving is over for now. It's back to the game plan, back to the analysis and the training. And don't forget, you know, there's always the hen do to prank each other. So whichever way it goes on finals, you've got that to look forward to. Ladies, thank you so, so much for taking the time in this really busy week. I know it's full on, to join me on the podcast. And best of luck for the grand final. Cannot wait to see what happens.
See you Saturday, Vic.
See you Saturday.
Well, there you go. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? Inside the minds of the two coaches that have led their teams to the final. Don't forget, you can still get tickets to be part of that record-breaking crowd at Resorts World Arena on Saturday, the 29th of June. Just head over to the Netball Super League website, but you will have to be quick. We do have a record crowd that are going to be in attendance. In the meantime, wow, well, what a season it's been, and what a pleasure it's been to be able to record this podcast through it and really get into all the different teams, the strategies, the players, what's been going on. Of course, we are saying goodbye to Team Bath, Surrey Storm, Strathclyde Sirens and Seven Stars, who've made history this year by reaching the finals weekend for the very first time. We're also, though, looking forward to pushing our sport into a new era, new heights in 2025. Before that, though, there's one epic final showdown to go, isn't there? I'm commentating the final and I cannot wait to see you there. I'll leave you, though, with one final stat. Either Thunder or Lightning have won the title every year since 2019. Thunder took it in 2019, Loughborough Lightning in 21, back to Thunder in 2022, and Loughborough Lightning, the current champions, in 2023. Who will be crowned champions this year? Let's find out, shall we? I'll see you courtside.